As we wrap up 2025, one thing's clear. Uncertainty isn't temporary. It's the world we live in now. Noble Gold Investments helps Americans protect what they've built with real gold and silver, holding value when everything else feels uncertain. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and take your first step toward a safe future. This holiday season, when you open up a qualified account, you'll receive 10 one-ounce commemorative silver holiday coins. Visit Noble Gold today.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is Pucks and Seven with Ryan Payton and Victoria Maniash.
It's Pucks and Seven. Ryan Payton, Victoria Maniash, we're back at it. Good to have you with us, folks. You can listen to us wherever you get your podcasts: Amazon, iHeart, Spotify, Google, Apple. Also on SiriusXM app, Stitcher, and Pandora. I did not say Twitcher this time. I made sure I said Stitcher, even though we're doing this very early in the morning. Follow me on Twitter, RyanPayton75, and at Victoria Maniash. Vic does great work. Major news talk station in Toronto. Also, ESPN.com, Fantasy, NHL. You want anything you need to know about that, go to her. She's the best at it. I'm a part of SiriusXM, NHL Network Radio, Channel 91. Do a lot of work for them. So the letters TD can mean many things, Vic. Touchdown, for one, when it comes to sports, but it also means technical difficulties.
So we're doing this on Tuesday morning, extremely early, instead of Monday, which is our scheduled plan. We promised everybody Pucks and Seven will come out on Mondays. It is Tuesday because somebody had issues with her microphone yesterday and didn't realize it.
You just gave it away because you said her.
Somebody had problems with her microphone yesterday and has since resolved it. And so our original iteration of the show was not up to snuff, up to our quality control. So we're giving it another go. And of course, we're going to make amendments because now they played on Monday as well.
Yeah. And we're going to look back too to some of the things on Monday quickly, because we did have them on the original sheet for Monday when we were doing this. So we're going to bring up some of that that happened on Monday. Anyway, yeah, we're back at it. And we're going to be also too doing this early next week after the holiday weekend. So this will be the last one, of course, before the holiday. So what we'll do, as we always do, back to the week that was. So many storylines. We'll bring down the clink hammer as well. And we'll criticize teams, in this case, an offense of one of the teams, management for one of the teams, some ideas about a play-in idea for the playoffs. We'll talk about that. Then we looked
stupid
at the week
idea.
To come. Some, don't give it away.
We're bringing down the clink hammer. Clearly, we're not fans.
No. Yeah. So we'll bring up that stupid playoff play-in idea. Then we'll look ahead to the week to come, and at the end, of course, Vic with their Fantasy 7, which has changed as well a little bit after Monday night. Minnesota Wild have not changed, and we wanted to address that right off the top. Kirill Kaprizov is your MVP. You picked him at the beginning of the season. You picked him to win the MVP. I said, no, he is not going to win the MVP, so that's something that I was wrong with, at least for now. He's dynamite. Minnesota's playing well, and I was looking at the records of this team over the past number of seasons, and this team should be doing well. 113 points last season, and then in 56 games the season before, 2021, with the season cut down, 75 points. Then the season cut down before, 77, but then they had 83, 101, 106, 87, 198, all the way down to 13-14.
But so nobody pays attention to Minnesota, though.
I know.
We just don't pay. The Wild just doesn't attract attention, and even though it's a great hockey state, the rest of us around North America don't give them their due, and I don't think we have for a long time.
So what's the reason then? If it's a great hockey state. So you're saying even in the U.S., even if it's a great hockey state, which it has been forever, and
it's not New York. It's not California.
Okay, so it's not sexy?
One of the original six. It's not sexy. It's not sexy. I mean, Minnesota, is Minnesota sexy? And this is no offense to anybody living in Minnesota, but it's that sex appeal is not the first thing I think of.
If you like cold, you like sexy.
Yeah, yeah, okay. But they do have one of the sexiest players in the NHL right now. He is just on an absolute heater. In the last, I'm going to say the last month or so, he's top four in scoring. I picked him to win the Hart before the season started, almost First of all, I think he's a dynamite player, and I thought he might flirt with the idea and finish in the top three. But also, everybody picks Connor McDavid, and I just wanted to pick somebody else who I thought might give him a challenge. And so far, he is right now. He didn't, not so much to start the season, but they've really come on strong recently. 11-3 in their last 14 games. That's the Wild. They're moving up the Central. They are threatening the guys at the top, and it's becoming a little bit more exciting.
7 points out of top spot in the West. And this week, they have two games that they should win. They take on Anaheim on Wednesday. They take on San Jose on Thursday. So
yeah,
those
games, you got to win both of those.
You got to win. You got to get 4 points out of that. And then who knows what that gap will be. In the latest homestand, they won 4 in a row. They outscored the opposition 14-5. They won 7 straight at home, 5th in the West again with 38 points. So back to Kaprizov. Anytime you get in some sort of company, on some sort of list that includes Sid, Ovi, and Gino. By the way, as well, I was thinking about this the other day. You know you're good in the NHL when people can abbreviate your name and you know exactly who they're talking about, because it doesn't happen too often, right? But I said Sid, I said Ovi, and Gino. We know who they're talking about.
Absolutely.
Point is, Kaprizov is, he got to 200 points in 167 games or less. Fourth guy to do it. That group includes Sid, Ovechkin, and Evgeny Malkin, which is amazing. So, so much
company.
More from him.
And 6 points in his last couple of games. So he's going to carry that forward along with Zuccarello, who's on a tear as well, his line mate on the top line, with little guy Sam Steele. He's not little, but he's younger than the rest of them.
Right, right.
I'll take that back. You're a good size, Sam. You're fine.
He is. Yeah,
but
don't
Sam. They're humming along, and those two games against the California teams, those should go Minnesota's way.
Ryan Reeves thing. I just want to address this a tiny bit.
Also a Wild, so we're sticking with the Wild here.
And they, Billy Guerin said that the way that they are successful is if they play strong and physical and powerful. Well, you bring in one of the strongest, most physical, and most powerful player in the game, in Ryan Reeves, when it comes to physicality, that means you're doing the right thing. The other day, that hit against Detroit, Filip Hronek, it's borderline for me. And the two things I really don't like about it. The first thing was his comment after saying, well, Hronek shouldn't have come with me skating that way anyway. Okay, whatever. The
it
second
was,
thing
don't
is,
don't skate at me like that. We should mention this was an open ice hit.
Right, right. Go,
He wasn't penalized.
No.
He wasn't suspended later. He wasn't fined. Everybody in the NHL spectrum, across the NHL spectrum, thought this was okay.
So it was clean. It was clean.
They think so, yes.
They think so. They think so. The thing I didn't like about it, and I don't like about it, is that Reeves has done this so many times. He hits people. He does a lot of other things too,
tough
not
guy.
Much, but he hits people. Hronek was in a vulnerable position. If you watch it, and it doesn't matter if he looked left just before he looked forward and all of a sudden Reeves was on him about 2 feet away and then boom. But to me, Reeves does not need to go at him as tough. When you see him, when you're scared, there was a lot of space, Vic, between him and Hronek before they came together. So my point is, you're not along the boards. If you're up along the boards, you're not vulnerable. When you're skating in open ice and you look left, thinking you're going to pass, then all of a sudden, then you are. I think he needed to back off a bit. Even if he stopped and Hronek ran into Reeves, it still would have been a big hit. But Reeves drove him, and I didn't like that.
It was the head contact was the issue altogether. If he doesn't make contact with his head, we're not having this conversation. Now, the good news is Hronek is okay. He was out for the rest of that game under the league's concussion protocol, but he did play the next game, and he appears to be all right. That probably is a factor, too, into why the league didn't come down a little harder on Reeves. I hate it when anybody hits anybody in the head. I don't quite know. Let me put it this way. This was not a targeted hit with a capital T to me.
Okay.
I don't think Reeves was going after his head, but let's say he didn't do anything to pull up and make sure he didn't make contact.
That's
right?
The issue. That's the issue I have.
So you can't. Can you penalize him? I don't know. Do I like
think
it?
You can.
Not particularly.
I've been still trying to figure out what is a clean hit. What is a clean hit? And based on what we just saw, no penalty, nothing, suspension, anything. Yeah, there was a bit of a fisticuff after, which you knew was going to happen to stand up for your teammate, but that was a clean hit. So I'm going to leave it at that. As of now, that is a clean hit in the National Hockey League. Penguins, Rangers, Tampa, Canes. What team's hotter? What team's better? They're great. they're all playing well at the same time. It's fun to see because a lot of these divisions are kind of evening out now from the haves and the have-nots, I guess. But the Penguins have been great. The Rangers have turned it around. Tampa's surging, and the Carolina Hurricanes, and they're getting reinforcements back, Vic. So watch out.
I mean, the Canes right now 9-0-1. since November 26th. That's largely without their top forward in Sebastian Aho.
Right.
They're getting amazing goaltending from Kochetkov with Ranta not playing and Freddie Anderson hurt. It's nice to see that team come together because we were expecting them to be one of the more dominant forces in the Metropolitan Division, and now they are. Same with the Rangers, 7-0. They're on a heater. Everybody is scoring again for the Rangers. It's not just the big guys like your Zibanejads and your Panarins who you expect. The kids are playing well again. We're going to get to a little more of that in the fantasy segment. But yeah, the kid line that was great a few months ago, really dormant to start this season, is now they're scoring. They're outscoring their opponents. It's just bananas right now. And you've got Shesterkin, you've got your Vezina winner who's playing again like a Vezina winner between the pipes. And everything's coming together. Remember we were talking about Gerard Gallant possibly getting fired?
Yes.
Just a few weeks ago? Yes. Nobody's talking about that anymore.
No.
Because the Rangers are climbing. And that's how it works.
The Rangers
are climbing the standings. And the central fight right now between the Penguins, the Canes, the Rangers, Penguins 12-2-1 in their last streak since November 17th. That's just going to be a lot of fun. And now we were talking about the Islanders earlier. We were talking about the Devils earlier. Mm-hmm. Well, don't look now, but the Devils have lost three straight. And those other three are starting to climb very slowly up that, not so slowly, actually. They're just trying to climb steadily up that division.
I'm even going to say that watch out for the Capitals, too. Watch out for the Capitals.
Why?
It's not like they're going on a huge run, but they're playing better hockey. I don't know if they're juiced because Ovechkin is on the brink now of getting to Gordie Howe. I don't know if that's the case, but you look at what they did last week. Four games, they lost one. The Carolina Hurricanes had three games. They won all three. Pittsburgh, they won two. Rangers won all three. Devils didn't win a single game out of the four. I'm just saying. So the gap is slowing. There's a ways to go between Washington and New Jersey. But as of now, the Devils and Canes and Penguins separated by 4 points. So my question to you, and I think we talked about this when the Devils got off this tremendous run, can they sustain it? Is it sustainable? It's 82 games. I don't think so.
I think New Jersey slides
in. I think
New Jersey slides
in. All right.
Because of what they've already accomplished to date, to 21-8-2, they have 44 points.
Right.
If they just play reasonably good hockey going forward, and like Jack Hughes is having a year, and there's talent on that team, and they are being coached well. It's a 3-game losing streak. It's not a 13-game losing streak.
Right.
I think they're going to slide in, but I don't think they're going to be at the top. I think we're looking at Carolina or the Rangers at the top. Penguins, it's going to be tough to keep them out of that mix. And then, of course, you do have the Washington discussion. Ryan, Tom Wilson is coming back.
Yes.
Nicky Backstrom is possibly coming back in the next month.
Yeah.
So you're getting two key figures in your top six. Tom Wilson is somebody you want in your lineup. I know everybody else around the NHL fandom universe hates him, but you want this guy on your team when he isn't getting suspended.
Really?
Tom Wilson? I think people do not like Tom Wilson.
Really? Why?
I think he's a bit dirty. He has a reputation for being a bit dirty.
Okay.
So, and he gets suspended. I mean, he's been suspended several times for doing unpleasant things towards the opposition.
That's a nice way to put it.
But you want him on your team. He's Brad Marchand. You want him.
He is.
You don't like him if you're an opposing fan, but you do want him on your team.
I've always said this about Tom Wilson. Just keep it between the ears. Keep it fine there. Don't think about doing anything stupid. And you are an effective player. I do think he is an effective player.
He's too skilled to do stupid stuff.
Exactly.
And he still does stupid stuff. And I don't quite get it. But he's a fantastically skilled player. And he's
back. Yeah, he is. We'll get to the week to come later on. But just quickly, you look at these teams in that division. Carolina, they have the Devils this week, the Penguins and the Flyers. Pittsburgh, they have the Rangers and Carolina. The Rangers of Pittsburgh and the Islanders.
They're all playing each other. It's awesome. It's fun.
So good.
It's going to be a great way to slide into the Christmas break. It really is.
Hey, how about Tuesday? Last Tuesday, and you and I joked, we said, or at least you did, you were saying Friday games are always so strange. You know, the amount of games they have, whatever it is, they always come out with odd stories out of Friday. So I think I texted you on Tuesday. This isn't Friday. Is it Friday? No, it's not. Tuesday was absolutely ridiculous. 78 goals scored. Ovi, of course, was the big one with that hat trick to get to 800 against Chicago.
And you've got 78 goals in 12 games, but then you incorporate the factor that there were four shutouts involved. And shutouts are always fun, but usually you hope for maybe one or two or a night, and then four. Four is an unusually high number. And look at the guys who are involved. Samsonov, 7-0 over Anaheim. So Samsonov for Toronto. You got Craig Anderson, Buffalo, 6-0 blanking of LA. Kochetkov, we talked about earlier with Carolina. He's doing a banging job there. 1-0 over Detroit. And Bobrovsky. Bobrovsky.
Yay, Bob.
4-0 blanking of his old team, the Columbus Blue Jackets.
And that's tough.
You can expect
that. That's tough. It's tough to blank the Columbus Blue Jackets.
Yeah, they're struggling a little bit.
You and
right
I could
now.
Do at least a good period and a half, maybe two against Columbus, and we'd be fine.
That's harsh. But Bobrovsky got the job done, and he hasn't had a great season. So we're talking about these guys who are not your usual Vasilevskis, Hellebucks, Shesterkins, you know, the ones you're expecting to rack up the shutout. So it was a really fun night. I really, this season just feels a little wilder and more manic to me than usual. I don't know why, but I'm really enjoying it. Maybe it is coming out of the pandemic, and we're just not waiting for people to get sick anymore, and the schedule's sort of laid out, and we can count on the games happening. There's fans in the stands on a regular basis.
I think so. I think that's fair. I absolutely think that's fair. And what I find intriguing, too, as we hit the break about the shutouts, they weren't 2-0. A lot of them weren't 2 or 1 or 3.
There was 1-0, but the rest of them had a bunch of goals.
7, 6, and 4. So if I were to say to you, oh, wow, 78 goals scored on Tuesday in those 12 games, well, then I would expect not many shutouts. I'd expect 5-4 games, 6-5 games, 5... No. And good for Bob. Good for you, Bob. Go get him. Go get him against Columbus. I'm already in the bring down the clinkhammer mood, Vic. We'll take a break. We'll come back. 84-game regular season. We'll talk about that. Jonathan Toews, Patrick Kane, get the heck out of Chicago. But I think they're playing it, not those two, but the team. Anyway, we'll get into that. Also talk a bit, too, about Ryan O'Reilly. Some trades happen on Monday. And Barry Trotz. Is he going to come back? Is he not? We'll discuss after this. Pucks and Seven, Ryan Payton, Victoria Matiash. We will be right back.
Welcome back to Pucks and Seven with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matiash.
He is Ryan Payton. I am indeed Victoria Matiash. And this is certainly Pucks in Seven, where we do look at not only the week that was, everything that happened in the last 7 days, but also we look ahead eventually to the week to come and what we should be marking on our calendar and looking for. It's storylines and trends. We're not doing any analytical deep dives, not usually anyways. This is more of a gossip session as far as I'm concerned. Well, it is.
Everybody loves gossip.
We all do.
We all love
so
drama.
So we're just looking at trends and what's going on. And last week, it was the annual winter meetings.
Yep.
For the league. Everybody gets together, the owners, Gary Bettman, and they decide how they can, you know, tweak the game or make some changes rules-wise, otherwise, schedule-wise. And they're actually entertaining the idea of expanding the season or increasing it, I should say, from 82 games to 84 games with the idea of increasing divisional rivalries so that, you know, in each division, a team will play their, you know, potential rival, because I don't think many of these exist anymore, but potential rival.
There's barely any anymore.
There are a couple. The Battle of Alberta is a banger. Okay.
It's a banger. It is.
But
outside of that,
maybe number two, pardon me?
Outside of that, what? Rangers, Islanders?
Maybe.
But I'm with you. There used to be a lot more. A lot more. Is Tampa, Toronto considered one?
I mean, from the playoffs, but that doesn't really have anything with them playing each other during the regular season.
No, I agree.
Yeah. So this is what I like about it. Mm-hmm. I don't mind the increasing to two games or by two games, I should say, if you're going to knock down the preseason, if you're going to knock down training camp, because that month's worth of
get rid of it. Don't get rid of training camp. Get rid of the preseason games. Give them one or two at the most. Plus, you're playing all the players who are looking to try to make the spot. Good for them. You get a chance, that's fine. Totally get it. Get to play in arenas. Get to play in some sort of NHL atmosphere. But just shorten up the training camp. Shorten it up. I mentioned baseball the other day when we were talking about this. They're already starting. They're already reporting, right?
Pitchers and catchers are Boxing Day reporting.
Baseball spring
training. They're not. It's February, but it's ridiculous. It's way too early.
Baseball spring training, 2.5 years long. It takes forever to get to the game. Anyway, it's not, but you know what I'm saying. Anyway, go on. It's I think the preseason's too long.
So if that, I don't care about the rivalry business. I'm more interested in watching, as let's say I'm living in Toronto. I'd much rather watch Edmonton play Toronto right now and watch McDavid versus Austin Matthews than I would Toronto-Ottawa. That it just doesn't carry the same. It did for several years, but now there are different characters involved. It's no longer Sundin and Daniel Alfredson. So this is almost like it's not natural. They're saying, well, okay, Washington and Pittsburgh, you're divisional rivals right now, so you're going to play an extra game. I don't get it. But I'm fine. You want to make it an 84-game season and you want to knock 2 weeks off of training camp, off the preseason, all for it, sure.
You don't like the Marner and Giroux? You don't like that matchup between Toronto and Ottawa?
It's not the same.
I know it's not the same. But you did say Washington Pittsburgh. I do think they still have something. They still have something.
There's
even
a little
not
bit of,
in the playoffs
because of Ovechkin and Crosby.
Yes, that's right.
Okay.
That's right.
Yes, there's a little bit, but it isn't what it was 10 years ago, Ryan. It's not even close.
No. And just want to make this clear too for people that are about the whole structure now. Each team plays, this is the NHL 82 game season. Each team plays three or four against divisional opponents for a total of 26. They play three against non-divisional teams within the conference for a total of 24. And then, of course, they do the two games home and away against opponents from the other conference.
Which are often the most fun, I find.
Yeah, they are.
You get to see Winnipeg once a year if you're in the East, right?
And one of the positives to get this to an 84 would be, for example, the Islanders and the Rangers. They're not going to meet in 2023.
They're already nearly done.
Yeah, all their games done by the time the calendar turns from 22 to 23. So that's the one part. But anyway, I'm with it. Get rid of the preseason. If you want to put the two, there's pros and cons to both. A lot of cons in Chicago. I mean, no, sorry, let me just rephrase that. You know what I mean? There's a lot of negative. Chicago is a mess.
There's a lot of non-positives in Chicago.
My gosh. Thank you for helping me with that word. Yep. You always know where to pick me up and how to pick me up. The good news, one of the things, Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane, they played their 1,000th games together. And I love the list because you print out this list and you send it to me the night before and it says, now trade them. So anyway, good for you. Now get rid of them.
They celebrated their 1,000th game together on Sunday. They were absolutely destroyed by the Rangers. Happy anniversary, guys. Yeah. It was an unfortunate game from beginning to end. There was nothing exciting or happy about it. And even when they spoke about it later, I think somebody called it bittersweet, and I think I would have used a harsher term than that. But this season is not going okay for Chicago at all.
It's a disaster.
It's really bad. They're the worst team in the league right now.
Yeah.
Philadelphia is struggling. The Columbus Blue Jackets are struggling. But to me, Chicago right now is in the worst shape. Well, they are. They've won one game in like 40 days. It's something ridiculous.
They've lost 15-16, outscored 31-7 in the last seven. Not 31-7 in the last 16. They've been outscored 31-7 in their last seven games.
So how are fans in Chicago, and this is an original six team, and I know that's not supposed to matter more, but it still does to me, sorry. How are fans in that city supposed to handle this? Are they going to go to games? If I got tickets to a Chicago Blackhawks game for the holidays.
Yeah,
thanks. It's not going to be a fun evening. Odds are.
Yeah. You'd probably want a lump of coal instead of tickets to a hockey game in Chicago.
Right now, yes.
But I think that there's the mystique. There's the history. There is still Patrick Kane. There's still Jonathan Toews. There's the building. I'm just saying there's something about it. And yeah, I would not. I know. I'm stretching. I'm stretching for reasons why you want to go. If your season's ticket holders and you have nothing better to do, then go watch your team get thumped 7-1. Maybe you're having a good day. You want to feel bad.
What, and spend $18 on a beer?
Yeah, I know.
Thanks. I can watch them get pumped at home and save a bunch of cash. But here's the situation. You want to give fans a reason to be excited now. If you're Chicago management, you got to trade these two guys. And I know you can't trade them without their permission. They have their clauses. They have to ask for a trade. They have to give their stamp of approval. I'm not sure why they wouldn't. You have to at least open up the conversation with both Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews. Get them moved out. Get them on a contender. They're going to be free agents at the end of the season anyway. So why not do it now and start the rebuild now instead of waiting until March?
See, I am on board and I'm not on board. They're at the 10.5 mil, same contracts. You're right. Free agents, they're done at the end of the season. The more time this goes on through till the deadline, the more money Chicago will save or other teams will have to pay to finalize their contract. So when you trade them at the deadline, you won't have a lot of money left to go in order to pay for Kane and Toews. So maybe because of the cap situation, a lot of teams are up against it. That's such a massive thing. Maybe they're waiting. But I do hope that Chicago, you've been really dumb with a lot of things you've done in the last few years that have come out and all this nonsense. I do hope what they've done is gone to both and said, look, this is not a good situation. You know it. We all know it. We owe it to you, and you owe it to yourselves to get a chance to play for a contender by the deadline or before the deadline. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to trade you, but we want to make sure that we can get enough in return when your stock is relatively still high. Now, Jonathan Toews' stock, look, the stock is not as high as it used to be for both of them, but it's higher for Kane than it is for Jonathan Toews for a bunch of different reasons. But the point is, I think Chicago's going to hold off. I think they're going to hold off when they get close to the deadline, because you're going to have contending teams thinking, hey, I could use him. I could use him. I could use both. Probably not, but I could use one of the two. Now then, close to the deadline, you're desperate. Okay, I want this. I want the extra that. I want the extra draft pick. Fine, we'll do it to get Patrick Kane. So at the end of the day, they're going to get traded. I think they're taking their time, and I think there has been that discussion. But at the same time, mentally, for this team, even for Jonathan Tate and Patrick
depressing.
Kane, it's awful.
It's depressing, and that's my other thing. Maybe they want to stay. I have no idea why they would.
Why
maybe
would
they like their
stay?
Homes. You don't think they do?
The only reason why they'd want to stay is they like the home, the family, the city. There's no way you want to stay on a team that's horrible, and you're getting on. I'm not saying
and you're leaving anyway. Yeah. You're in the final year of your contract, and I'd rather sooner rather than later get it done, pull the Band-Aid off, let's start moving on, and give a reason for fans in Chicago to be excited about this team again.
Barry Trotz originally suggested not too long ago that he was interested in perhaps coming back to coaching an Original Six team. And at the time, I said, okay, let's go through them. We talked about Detroit, talked about the Rangers, talked about the Canadiens, all these teams that have either hired new coaches in the offseason, or St. Louis going into his first full season in Montreal, and then other teams which don't need a new head coach. And Toronto was floundering. I said to you, the only place he'll go is to Toronto. But now he says, I'm not quite sure yet. He says, in paraphrasing, I'm going through some personal things. I have different things to figure out. But I'm telling you, Vic, with all due respect to Barry, if you're going through personal things, certainly, you know, get through those. That's the most important thing. But Toronto's playing well. So now
they
he doesn't
playing
want
well,
to come
so
back.
I don't think the door is open
now
anymore.
He doesn't want to come back. No.
You're not going to fire Sheldon Keefe now.
No, you're
not. I mean, the Leafs are soaring. I know they've lost a couple in a row, but before then, they were one of the hottest teams in the NHL. They're all coming together. They look fantastic. The goaltending's been great. There's no big fix needed here right now, especially in the present day. So there's no reason to get rid of Sheldon Keefe and bring in Barry Trotz. And I'm not sure that that was the only team that he was, well, he
yes,
said he spoke to
Vic,
several.
No, convinced of this.
I love it.
Come on, it was. I'll listen, but I won't.
He still
agree.
Needs to get some personal affairs in order. Uh-huh. So this to me sounds like, okay, the holiday season, spending time with family, get some personal affairs in order in January. And I think he's talking to teams again in February. And who knows what the NHL looks like then? Everything changes so quickly. Maybe the Rangers are floundering again and there's an opening there. Who knows? But I think Barry Trotz is coaching again in the NHL before this season is done.
All right. Writing this down, because I say, guess what? No, I do not think he's going to be coaching. And I don't think any of those teams that are in contention, if you're close to contention.
I love how you actually are writing this down. It's hilarious.
I am. Yeah. Look, here it is. Pen, paper. I got it, because I'll forget in half an hour. I think that when you get to that time when you know that you're either going to be in or not, or you're going to teeter by the time game 80 comes and game 81 comes, maybe game 82 comes, you have to finally get in. I don't even see those teams making a sort of change. I really don't. So anyway, I'll say Barry does not. You say Barry does. Regardless, take your time. He's been there, done that. And you actually mentioned Nashville, and then we'll leave this topic. You thought that potentially he could make a return.
Well, I think John Hines is in trouble in Nashville. And okay. I love the story of Barry Trotz returning to Nashville, because that team is a playoff team.
Yep.
It's built
yep.
as a playoff team, and they're not playing very well.
No, and we'll get to that and bring down the clinkhammer, which will be next. Ryan O'Reilly, keeping the trade deadline. Reports are surfacing, and you love this too. This is more drama. Potentially looking at Toronto. Toronto's kicked some tires on maybe acquiring. Look at the smile.
I love it. Ryan, no, I love Ryan these conversations.
O'Reilly, and you love it.
We're blowing this up a little bit, because the tidbit that came out that there were internal discussions in Toronto about acquiring Ryan O'Reilly from the St. Louis Blues in a trade. He has 1 year left. He's in his last year, actually, with $7.5 million. So you can actually swing this probably with moving just a few bodies around, especially if you wait a couple of months, like you said earlier, and you come closer to the trade deadline. I just think this is such a fun conversation. Another thing that blew my mind, Ryan O'Reilly helped the St. Louis Blues win a Stanley Cup. He knows how to win. He won the Conn Smythe in that series as well, just speaking to his value in the playoffs. And I think that's the type of figure the Toronto Maple Leafs need. Wherever you have him in the lineup, third line center, maybe you have him on the wing, you have him on the power play. He's versatile. He's also only 31 years old.
That's ridiculous. Ryan, that's ridiculous.
The Colorado years, the Buffalo years, and now the St. Louis years, and he's been there more than a couple.
He should be mid to late 30s.
I mean, I've decided he's 36, and the math is wrong somewhere because it just doesn't make any sense. I'm like,
check
did you start when you were 15?
Yeah,
it just,
check
it's wild.
Yeah.
So I would love to see him. I mean, Toronto did make a deal earlier this week.
It's
not for Ryan O'Reilly.
No.
They sent Dennis Malgin and they brought in Dryden Hunt from the Colorado Avalanche. So they're trading away somebody who is, you know, had the potential to be more of a goal scorer, never quite fit into Toronto's top six. Not ideally. Hold on. Uh-huh. Not ideally. And they brought in more of a defensive forward that you're going to tuck away in your bottom line when everybody's healthy. Dryden Hunt's probably not going to play, but you're not a big fan of this trade.
No, I'm not. And I don't get it. I don't really understand what the point is to let one go and to bring one in. Financially, they're both in their pending UFAs. They pretty much have the same cap hit over 750. And I know the numbers have not been fantastic, but do you think you're getting more in Hunt than Malgin? Do you think you're giving up less in Malgin than in Hunt?
I think you're getting a different player.
That's it then.
So they haven't found the guy to skate on the left side on the second line. They haven't. Right. And they tried him. I think Cali Yarncroc is going to get another shot of it now that Dennis Malgin is gone. But they haven't found the ideal guy. And that's what they wanted out of him. And he wasn't that. So instead, I think they cut their losses. And now they're looking at Dryden Hunt, who, again, is a part-time player. He's tough. He's physical. He's going to play 9 minutes a game on the fourth line. And he's going to bring some physicality to a team that generally doesn't have a lot of it. So I don't think it's the worst trade. But this is not, we're making this sound like, you know, Crosby just got traded for Ovechkin here. Like, this is minor potatoes.
Yeah, especially
on
the heels
of Ryan O'Reilly.
No, and on the heels of potentially Ryan O'Reilly going to Toronto. How about this one? Hunt for Malgin. He kind of, you know, it's the same.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Wah, wah.
By the way, you mentioned Yarncroke. He's back at practice too. So maybe this is something to do with that going forward.
Oh, I think so. I think the fact that he's healthy again is a big part of it.
We'll take a break. We'll come back. And when we do, our favorite segment in yours, we'll bring down the clink hammer. We'll talk about Nashville, Vancouver, the stupid playoff play-in idea, and a little bit more as well. Goaltender interference rules and all that type of stuff. And you wanted to talk a bit about Kevin Hayes and John Tortorella.
I mean, we bring the clink hammer down on John Tortorella
every
week.
It's just something it's just a small thing.
It's a small thing because we've got to let up on that guy. But
I especially do. I've been mean. I love you, John. I really do. It's time to go. Oh, there we go. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Pucks and Seven, Ryan Payton, Victoria Matic.
Welcome back to Pucks and Seven with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matiash.
Okay, this is the segment that we have a lot of fun. And we have fun in all the segments, but this one's extra because the blood starts to boil when we realize what we're going to do. We're going to bring down the clink hammer, and that's when we criticize teams, players, coaches, management, fans.
Anybody.
That's just the type of people we are. We love to criticize. No, we don't. But you know what I mean. So we get all hyped up for this. Anyway, without further ado.
Time now to drop the clink hammer.
In honor of the one and only Robert Clink Hammer. Always got to mention that too, because some people will think, why are we saying bringing down the clink hammer? Played in the NHL, played a lot of time too in the KHL. We mentioned a little bit too about the Nashville offense. You're saying John Hines in jeopardy. Maybe Barrett Trotz at some point will join them. What about this offense, Vic?
All right, so they beat, on Monday night, they beat the Oilers. They scored four goals, and that was much needed. The previous six games, they had nine total goals. You're not going to win. And they didn't win. They didn't win a single one of those six games. So it doesn't matter what UC Saros is doing between the pipes. You've got Matt Duchene had a single goal. Philip Forsberg, still, he didn't score last night either, a single goal. The guys on this offense that are supposed to be contributing are not. It's going to become a bigger problem as the season wears on. This is a team built to make the playoffs. As currently constructed, they should be in the postseason. They are of high quality. They've got all the pieces in play. They've got one of the best defenses in the league. And the guys up front need to start scoring more. So I'm bringing down the clink hammer on the Nashville Predators offense in particular, because I think their defense has still done an decent enough job, including their goaltending, but six goals in nine games up until the, sorry, that's even worse. Nine goals in six games up until beating Edmonton is putrid.
Unacceptable. And I remember, too, one of the first segments I think we did with this, bringing down the clinkhammer, I did that on UC Soros. And I said, what is wrong with him? This is somebody who should not be playing as badly. You look at what he did last season. He had 38 wins, 2.64 goals against, 918 save percentage, which is not bad. And then early on in the season, he was struggling. So based on what you're saying, and UC Soros has been great, a lot of the recaps after say, again, Nashville not supporting their goalie, Nashville not being able to help Soros in goal. Soros was great. So none of this is his fault, correct?
He's not allowing anything.
You're not
two
putting
goals,
anything.
One game, one goal, another game, two goals, another game, but he's not making any, he's not getting any offense and support.
That's
so
it.
Nashville's got to bring it up. They got to bring it together, or John Hines is going to be out of a job. Maybe Barry Trotz is taking over for him, maybe somebody else, but if they don't start scoring with regularity, Monday against the Oilers was a good start, but it has to be more regular.
There's nothing regular about Vancouver. I'm going to bring it down on the Vancouver management right now.
Here's again, what Monday night. Monday night, Ryan. 5-1. Losing 5-1 to the Blues. Blues.
I know. And the Blues are not a bad team. Vancouver is absolutely horrid. They're a horrible team.
They're playing horrible right now. They shouldn't.
They're horrible. They're playing horrible. They are a horrible team. For those that have heard this before, the stuff that we've done, I thought that Vancouver was going to look. There still is time, but there's not much left because there's such the separation starting in that division. I've always thought that going into the season, I thought Vancouver would be one of the teams of many in the league I thought would take a few steps up in the right direction, but they're not. The issues lie with Jim Rutherford. He took the job a year ago in December. I can't remember exactly the actual date, but a year ago this month, he took the job. What has Jim Rutherford done? First of all, it all started to go downhill when coming out of training camp, he basically said, we're not ready. This is not going to be good. And then
way to pump your team up there, Jim.
I mean, come on. And then reports are coming out saying that pretty much everybody is on the trading block. Everybody is expendable. 99% of the players on that team are expendable, except for Elias Pettersson.
They're not trading Quinn Hughes.
I know they're not. The point is, though, more of that discussion is it has to be a massive mammoth offer to trade Quinn Hughes. The fact, Vic, though, that he's actually not saying anybody else outside of Pettersson, basically that's the rumor out of Vancouver. How do you play?
I love every time Vancouver makes the bringing down the clinkhammer segment because I can see the steam coming off the top of your head just because.
Yeah. I'm wearing a hat right now. You just wait till I pull this thing off.
I'm quicker to temper than you are. You're the calm one of this duo. You're the calmer one, but you get really angry when we start talking about Vancouver. And I don't blame you. Right now, I mean, we have to assume that both Brock Besser and Bo Horvat are going to be traded this year.
They have to be traded.
There's no coming back from that now. When they've talked about it so much, Brock Besser has actually officially asked to be traded. Bo Horvat.
It's a tongue twister.
Yeah. It's like Detroit Red Wings. I used to screw that one up all the time. Bo Horvat has officially released a statement recently going, I'm not going to talk about it anymore. It was literally like two sentences.
Yeah.
He sounded irate in those two sentences released in a statement.
Wouldn't you be?
Absolutely.
Enough's enough. Enough's
enough. So expiring contract. You got to get rid of both of them. It's not working out. They don't want to be there. This team should be better. As you mentioned earlier, this team, I still think defensively they're a mess. And I wasn't expecting them to make the playoffs because they are a mess on the blue line. They need two figures there, not just one, to improve their defense. But up front, they should have been a lot better than they have been.
And this is a different situation than the one in Chicago when Kane and Taze are gone. This is different. This is in my mind, you have to do something now. You have to. You can't wait till the deadline.
They're broken.
You have to do something now. If it's trading one, shakes it up a bit, fine. Or trading two, I don't imagine. Just imagine, okay, Brock Besser's traded, Bo Horvat's traded on the same day or within 2 days. I don't think that's going to happen. But my point is, when everybody's expendable on the team except for one, and every player knows that, how do you think you're going to respond? Poor Bruce Boudreau. How do you think Bruce is, hey, guys,
Uncoachable situation. It is, yeah.
Just to let you know, your GM, basically, everyone's up for grabs except for one. So go out and enjoy the game. We'll talk after. Come on, honestly.
And again, honestly, another 5-1 loss.
And people can bring out, oh, they're professionals. Don't give me this nonsense about
they're still human beings.
They're human beings. The playoff play-in idea. What do you think of it?
It's really stupid.
Okay,
so we're all right with the 84 game season that was discussed at the winter meetings last week. That's fine. Uh-huh. I actually don't really care. Go one way or the other. But this, and to give Gary Bettman credit, he shoots it down every time it comes up.
Yes.
So Bettman and I are like this. My fingers are intertwined. Like this right now on this idea, and it's the play-in idea they have in the playoffs in the NBA. So 10 teams would make the league, and then they'd have the one game playoff between the 10th, 9th, 8th, and 7th team, I believe is how they're looking at structuring
it. Like the NBA. Yeah.
Something to that effect. So that right now, 16 of 32 teams make the playoffs, 8 in each conference, and mm-hmm. they would expand that. So the real crappy teams would also have a shot after playing an 82 game season, which apparently isn't enough to sort anything out. This is sarcasm because it's ridiculous. 82 games is plenty. If you have not reached 8th spot after 82 games, you don't get to play in the playoffs. You don't get some stupid one shot of having a great game on some weird Friday night, and all of a sudden you're knocking somebody else, maybe in the 7th or 8th position, who legitimately earned that position after, again, I'll say it for the 800th time, 82 game season. The regular season has to mean something, Ryan. I think this is ridiculous. I'm glad it's earning no traction. Leave it alone.
In keeping with Ovi, 800, well said. I know there's that connection. You didn't mean to, but 800's the key number. I'm with you. If you don't make it through 82, then you don't get another shot.
You don't deserve it.
There's plenty of opportunity. And if they expand to 84 games, there's even two more extra games.
Win the extra game in February. Win the extra game in October. Like, figure it out.
Connor McDavid, we didn't talk about this off the top of the show, but he raised some eyebrows this week. Last week, he was upset about the non-call. The overtime against the Blues, which was one of the best overtimes I've seen, and it was the offside call. So he, paraphrasing whatever, comes in across the line. He doesn't have control, and I'm staring right at you when I say this because I know we're going to talk about this. And then whoever gets control, play evolves. McDavid sets up Draisaitl, gets his rebound, scores, and they win the game. And then all of a sudden, the war room in Toronto, because you can't challenge a play in overtime if you're a team. So the war room says, hold on a second, that could be offside. You see Craig Berube on the bench, and he is looking. The teams come back and whatever. And then they determined that it was offside. They called the goal off. If you watch the play, he comes in. He's not touching the puck. He comes in before the puck, didn't touch it with the stick, didn't touch it with the skate, didn't touch it with any type of breath that he was breathing. He did not touch it whatsoever. At the end of the game and afterward, he said, look, the league has to figure that out. What's offside? What's goaltender interference? What's this? What's that? Now, he was mad. And I think you would agree with this. He is as many faces as there are in the league. He's the face of the NHL. I think that he's
right
the face
now,
of the
I
NHL
so,
right
yes.
now. And so when he speaks, people listen. I'm sure Gary Bettman and Bill Daly and all the others did hear this. Your take on this, because this gets me into something else that I do think the league needs to do better with, but your take on the whole possession.
Okay, I want everybody
to think he had possession.
If you're particularly interested in this, watch the video, okay? Because what I'm going to sound is going to sound a little woohoo, but I don't think it is. I think he had possession of the puck in spirit.
Hold on. Look,
it was around him.
Look,
he was dealing with it.
I know the holidays are coming, but don't use the spirit thing.
Okay? No, he had it. In essence, I know what you're saying. And if you're looking at the nuts and bolts of the play, I suppose he didn't have possession. But to me, he had possession. I'm not sure. I don't know how you call the goal back, but I don't really particularly care. What I don't like about it is it just feels like such a judgment call to me. And there isn't enough black and white. And I don't know how you solve that problem.
I don't know what
the league can do differently here. So this is a tough one.
It is. But I'm looking at you and I have a pen, right? It's in my hand. I'm in possession. Now my pen's not my hand. I'm not in possession.
Ryan, drop the pen for
a minute. I'm not in possession. Same thing.
I don't know.
We'll agree to disagree, but
I'm not sure.
And the human error, and there needs to be clarification. And this goes in quickly, too, because we want to get one more thing about Torts and Kevin Hayes. But goaltender interference, that's one thing I still don't get, and the NHL does not get it right as much as they should. There's that whole area of, if I'm going in on a goaltender, because these guys go at 190-plus miles an hour, If I'm going in on a goaltender, if I get nudged a tiny bit by any member of the opposition and I lose my balance, I do not have time when I'm sliding into the goalie to avoid him. I can put my hands up to try to cushion the blow, but I don't. So many times we've seen guys on the ice looking up saying, "What? You call me for that? Goalie interference? Are you kidding? I got clipped. I got nudged. I got pushed. I got tucked." Something like that.
I think goaltenders are treated as too much of a precious commodity. I am not in favor of running goaltenders at all.
No,
they need to be protected. They're in a vulnerable position. But you are like, they're getting breathed on right now and there's calls being made. I think I equate it to, and I know it's a judgment call as well. It has to be because it's tough, but it's like the roughing the passer in the NFL. You know what? Okay, yeah. Let me put it to you this way. That's the famous old saying, how do you define pornography? You can't define pornography, but you know it when you see it. To me, that's running the goaltender. Okay. So you know it when you see it. And I wish the refs would call it more. That was definitely, he ran the goalie. It was goalie interference. And that really wasn't. And I'd like to see more of that.
We did mention too, John Tortorella, that we had brought down the clink hammer on John Tortorella. Just quickly address
okay,
it.
Okay, so
Kevin
he benched his top scorer the other day on the weekend. Yeah. Philadelphia isn't winning games. Philadelphia isn't going to start to win games anytime soon. Really lousy news about Cam Atkinson, too, by the way. He's
terrible.
Out for the rest of the season.
Awful.
And that sucks. Cam Atkinson's a great player, and also you never want to see that. He needs neck surgery. So this team is going nowhere fast. But he benches Kevin Hayes, who has 29 points in 31 games. And Kevin Hayes is a veteran. And he even came out afterwards. He goes, I don't think that was the right decision. Coach can do what he wants. I'm paraphrasing. Yep. Read it, because it's not nice. Coach can do what he wants. He's the coach. I'm the player. I have no say. But I didn't see the point of that. And so for a team that's already struggling, and here you have the heartbeat, who's actually, if he wants to set an example for other players, I'm assuming that's what this move was about.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I don't get what's going on in Philadelphia right now. And we talk about it every week. I just don't understand it. If you're trying to lift these guys up, I just think there's different ways of doing it. And this is not working.
Didn't like it at all. He had 29 points in 31 games, was the healthy scratched against his former team, the Rangers.
And which is an extra ouch, right?
When you were 30th in goals out of 32 teams in the NHL and you bench your top scorer.
And they lost, by the way.
Yeah. You think? Of course. As I said, and as I said weeks ago, John Tortorella, it's not working for him and his coaching. I know you don't agree.
No,
completely.
He needs a season, but I just want him to change his tactics.
That's what I mean. But the tactics are, he's not going to change. And the NHL's not changing. The league's not changing. These guys that he says have attention spans like amoebas, they're not changing. But they are the players that drive the league and cause it to have great success. We'll take a break. We'll come back and we'll look ahead to the week to come. Ovi Watch, Stamkos Watch, and Vic's Fantasy 7 as well to wrap up the show. Ryan Payton, Victoria Matiach, we will be right.
Welcome back to Pucks and 7 with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matiach.
Into the final segment of Pucks and 7. Welcome back. Ryan Payton, Victoria Matiash. You can follow us on Twitter at RyanPayton75, at Victoria Matiash. Also, wherever you get your podcasts, you can listen. We appreciate that. Amazon, iHeart, Spotify, Google, Apple. Also on the SiriusXM app, Stitcher, and Pandora. Now we look at the week to come. We'll get to Vic's Fantasy 7 in just a bit. There was a bit of a change, too, from Monday. So it's kind of good we didn't do it on Monday, so we can now do it on
Tuesday. Well, I have a
Tuesday,
useful tidbit for sure.
A few little tidbits, 100%. Exactly. So the Ovechkin watch. He's at 800. I was convinced last week that he was going to get it against Toronto on the weekend, but he didn't. He got the hat trick against Chicago, so he's in a major funk. He has not scored in, what, two games? I'm kidding. Hold on, people. It's okay. He can be in as much funk as he wants. You have 800, you'll get 801. Anyway, we were thinking Detroit, Ottawa, Winnipeg, so before they hit the break, the holiday break, those are the three teams that the Capitals did face this week. Didn't get it against Detroit. That would have been great,
though. He's chasing Gordie Howe.
He's chasing Gordie Howe.
At 801, and so he needs one to tie Howe and two to take over second place all time behind Gretzky.
And it would have been neat to see him do it against Detroit, because Gordie in Detroit, you know, it kind of writes itself. The Howes were on hand, all that type of stuff. He didn't, so now he has Ottawa at Ottawa, or home to the Winnipeg Jets. He needs one to tie, one to lead. What do you think? Two games to go.
One in each, and he makes it.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I'm worried about Winnipeg. I like the idea of him scoring against Ottawa. This is nothing against Ottawa, but they're not, you know, the staunchest defense in the league, and he can definitely do some damage there. Winnipeg's a little bit tougher, especially if Hellebuck's on his game, but I do think he wants to wrap this up before the holiday break. I think it's in his mind. I think the rest of the team is supporting him. I am surprised, along with you, that he didn't get one in Detroit, but right now, Erik Gustafsson is just a sniper for the Washington Capitals.
Who needs you, Ovi? Take a break.
Okay, so Erik Gustafsson of his defenseman, he scored a hat trick against the Maple Leafs on Saturday when we were all watching to see what Ovechkin does. And he scored again against Detroit last night. So Gustafsson is on a roll. Gustafsson scored 3 goals all last season, just to put this into perspective. So they're getting some goal scoring support from other players, but Ovechkin's not getting it done. I do think Ottawa definitely won for sure. So I think it gets tied this week and maybe 2.
I'm going to say that he gets 2 against Ottawa.
All right. I'm writing this down.
No, you're not. Okay, hold on. Let me change my mind. Actually, I was just looking, when you were talking about Gustafsson.
The sniper?
I was wondering if he... Guess what? I was going to joke. I was going to say, is he in a contract year? And he is in a contract year.
Of course he is.
He's in a contract year. He's going to be UFA. He makes $800,000, going to be UFA. So he's just tearing it up, hoping for some money. What about Stamkos? What's he looking at this week?
Okay, so he needs 3 goals to reach 500.
Yep.
And he is at Toronto on Tuesday. He's at Detroit later in the week, and then he's at Buffalo. So the Lightning are on the road. I don't think that's going to make a difference. In fact, Stamkos likes actually putting on a show when he's on the road. So that's not any hindrance whatsoever. So he needs 3. Toronto Tuesday night, man, he loves scoring in Toronto in front of his, he's from Toronto, right? So in front of his friends and his
I think many fans remembered when he decided, no, I'm going to stay in Tampa, not going to sign as a free agent in Toronto.
But he thought about it.
I know he did.
He did think about it. And I think Toronto was a delectable idea. Yeah. He just decided to stay where he was at. I actually had a lot of, we're not going to get into it. I had a lot of respect for that decision. But Oh, 3 in 3 games before the break? I don't think so. I think he falls one short. I think he gets 2. I think he scores in Toronto, because he often does. I think he scores in Toronto and maybe 1 more, but that's it. I don't think he gets the 3. I think we got to wait for the new year or shortly after the Christmas break.
Okay, put any stock into this what you will. So he has scored 22 lifetime goals against Toronto in 46 games.
You know what? I thought that number would have been a lot higher, honestly.
Me too. Detroit, 36 games played, and he has scored 20 goals. So the odds are a little more in the favor against Detroit, the goals per game, I guess, when it comes to that team. And then against the Buffalo Sabres, he has scored in 47 games, 21.
Okay, so he's almost half in all of them?
Almost half.
All right, so I'm sticking with my math. He gets 2, he doesn't get 3.
Okay, gets 2, doesn't get 3. I'm with you. I'm with you with that. He'll get 2. Okay. Monday, we were going to look at Buffalo and Vegas, but we're just going to bring it up again because Buffalo's rolling in Vegas. What's that? They can't win at home.
So for everybody who didn't listen to our show yesterday, because I screwed it up, we were saying this is one of the more fun games to look forward to on a Monday night, Buffalo's in Vegas, because Vegas can't win at home.
No.
Vegas is absolutely rolling on the road. Their record is incredible. And they now actually have a losing record.
8-9 in 70 games at home. Yeah. And we were talking about this too a bunch of times about teams going into Vegas. I know there's the hoopla and the lights and the glitz and the glamour and all that type of stuff.
The Vegas flu, Ryan. It's called the Vegas flu.
The Vegas flu. They're 14-2-1 away from home. 14-2-1 away from home.
So do the Golden Knights, are they distracted by everything in their own city? I mean, is Kessel sitting at the craps table every night and that they're not bringing it properly? Something is going on there because they should be better.
It's odd.
It should be tougher for visiting teams, visiting Sin City, and not being distracted to play the home team than it is for the team that plays there all the time. Not how it's rolling out to be. And again, the Sabres won last night.
Unless every opponent now going in has a curfew of 10. And then they get up
there
the next day.
There has to be something going on. Anyway, let's look ahead to Tuesday. Tuesday's fun.
Yeah, Tuesday. Rangers, Penguins.
We talked about it earlier.
Devils, Canes, Tampa, Toronto. That's going to be a fun night.
It is going to be an excellent night. Those are all the rivals. They're all battling each other in their respective divisions. So that's, and the Devils have lost three straight, as we mentioned.
That's this a big game is, for the Devils.
It's huge because right? You don't want it to be four straight, and they're playing in Carolina. And as we mentioned earlier, Carolina is absolutely smoking right now. So it's going to be a tough one. I'm going to focus on that one, I think, and flip to the other two that we talked about.
Yeah, me too. Rangers will be intriguing because they won seven straight. They're climbing up. They're only 3 points out of top spot. Carolina, they've won five in a row. Pittsburgh, they've lost one. Doesn't matter. Seven of the last 10. And I'm with you with the Devils. This is a big one because the Rangers coming in having, again, won seven straight. That's going to be huge. And we know the Devils, too, on the road, they're a decent team, 11-1-1 away from home. They're kind of like Vegas. So maybe Vegas and New Jersey have the same flu bug. Not that I want people to have flu bugs, but you know what I mean.
Well, there's the famous casino in New Jersey, too, isn't there?
I think there is. There's a casino everywhere.
I'm not a casino person.
Yeah, I was going to say. So when? Well, no. I have no clue.
There is. There's a.
I think there is.
There's something. But I just don't see as New Jersey as the same type of vacation destination as Vegas right now.
I don't think so either. Edmonton, Dallas, Wednesday. Intriguing always with Edmonton because I see signs, the frustration with McDavid. Dallas has been playing well. They're in top spot in their division. I really just need to see Edmonton get on a run. I'd love to see Jack Campbell start to be Jack Campbell. And I'd love to see Edmonton again not look like they miss Evander Kane, which they do. And I'd love to see McDavid and Draisaitl not carry the team. Just give me something. And if it's against Dallas, good on you, but I doubt it.
Stuart Skinner got that contract extension,
too. He did. So what does that say?
I think he starts in Dallas.
Yeah, I think so, too. Yeah. There's a Golden Nugget Atlantic City Hotel in Atlantic City, New Jersey.
Atlantic City. That's what I was going for.
Yeah.
Atlantic City. People go to gamble in Atlantic City who live in that part of the world and can't get a flight to Vegas. There you go.
Speaking of flights, good segue. You didn't mean to, but it all flows. Winnipeg, they fly into Boston for a game on Thursday. That's going to be fun.
Oh, that's just, there isn't really much intrigue about this game other than the fact that you have one of the best teams in the West playing one of the elite teams in the East, and they're both performing, especially between the pipes. The goaltending has been phenomenal. Both teams are on the upswing, and I just think it's going to be a banger of a game. That's all.
And Boston's not lost in regulation at home. 17-0-2. 17-0-2. Hey, Vegas. Boston's 17-0-2 at home.
I know. Have a chat, eh?
Something.
That's really funny, actually.
Yeah. Wrapping up the week. Again, they're off the weekend because the NHL is going to holiday break. Calgary and Anaheim. Reason we picked this one, the Sharks, Kings, and the Ducks this week for the Calgary Flames. This is a massive week for the Flames. The discussion's always been, Calgary, what's wrong? Are you showing signs? I don't know. Edmonton, are you? A bit more than Calgary, yes. Jacob Markstrom, are you showing signs? Yes, you are. But I think this is a massive one, especially for Jacob Markstrom, too. If he gets 2 of 3, he's got to get 2 of 3, get the confidence going into the break, and then hopefully that'll continue after.
The good sign is they finally won. They beat the Sharks on the weekend. Jacob Markstrom was in net for that after losing a bunch in a row, most of them in overtime. That's why I haven't hit the panic button yet with the Flames. They're losing in overtime. They're keeping matters close. I still think they're a quality hockey team. But this string against the California teams who are not great, the Kings are okay. The Ducks and Sharks stink. They need three, and they already beat the Sharks once. Now they get three in a row. They are right back in the mix in the Pacific. And I think that's going to make Flames very happy going into the break if that's how it works out.
Fantasy 7. Your segment to look ahead to the guys and who are going to be helping you and different ones to pick up as we go to this week before the holiday break.
We'll whip through them. These are all available, overwhelmingly available in ESPN.com Fantasy League, so they're probably going to be available overwhelmingly in other leagues as well. Also, good daily fantasy assets if you do play the daily fantasy game. I've got Sam Steele, young guy. He's centering a top line with Kaprizov and Zuccarello, and he's hanging in there, and he's doing a nice job. If Ryan Hartman doesn't steal that gig, he is definitely going to be an asset moving forward in deeper leagues. Kent Johnson is now centering Johnny Gaudreau and Patrick Laine because Boone Jenner broke his thumb.
Yeah.
So Kent Johnson is a very promising young player as well in Columbus. I've wanted to see him in the top six. He's now getting an opportunity. Scored a goal last night. That's a good start moving forward. Brandon Hagel is on a heater in Tampa Bay. He has been for a while now. He's just ignored overwhelmingly in fantasy leagues. I have absolutely no idea why. We talked about the Red Hot Rangers. Kaapo Kakko is scoring goals again. Hey guys, scoring goals again. Pick him up. That the young line is doing really well. Keandre Miller, also promising defenseman in the Rangers, is contributing offensively, which people have been waiting for as well. Then we have two goaltenders that are just not as popular as other goaltenders, which is, you know, important. Phoenix Copley with the Los Angeles Kings. I know, but he's winning games. I can't argue with that. Mm-mm. And then you've got all we talked about earlier with Carolina, Kachetkov is doing just a fantastic job. He is the starter right now. When Freddie Anderson comes back healthy, it's going to be very interesting to see what Brenda Moore does there with who he's going to run with as a goaltender, because it's not Antti Raanta. He's barely playing. So Kachetkov, hats off to you. Also available overwhelmingly in ESPN.com fantasy leagues.
Second round pick in the 19 draft. Three shutouts for him. And he's 23, combo Carolina Hurricanes with Kachetkov. And you're right with Freddie Anderson, too, coming back. I think you've got to go, obviously, with Freddie Anderson when he comes back. But at the same time, at least what Kachetkov's been proving to the team is that there's that backup in case things don't go as well.
I think they're going to start tandem. I would assume they would start in a tandem. You get one, you get one, you get one. You get one for Freddie Anderson to come back to speed, because you can't ignore the kid now, not the way that he's been playing.
No, not at all. Four-year deal, too. He signed $8 million back on November 23rd with the Canes. 9-1-4, 2.01 goals against, .923 save percentage. Not too bad. All right, that'll do it. We got it in, Vic. We got it in. This was a lot of fun, as always. This is our last one, of course, before next week. We'll reconvene then. And this has been Pucks and Seven. You can follow us on Twitter at RyanPayton75, at Victoria Matiash. And you can hear us anywhere you get your podcasts. Amazon, iHeart, Spotify, Google, Apple. Also on the SiriusXM app, Stitcher, Pandora, etc. On behalf of Vic, I say happy holidays to everybody who's listening. Stay safe, stay well, have good family time, and we will talk to you after the holidays.
This has been Pucks in 7, available on the SiriusXM app and wherever you get your podcasts.